Okay, hello everybody, welcome. I'm happy whoever has joined in. Let me just mute everybody who might be joining in, and we'll give me 1 second. Let me just mute everybody for a second. Okay. So I'd like to welcome everybody to Shir, especially it's a very, very busy week. And I would like to talk about two things, two ideas in the Shir that are connected. The first idea I want to speak about in the Shir is the mitzvah. Obviously, the whole Shir is about Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, the mitzvah of retelling the story from the Exodus, which we do even though a whole year we would speak about it. Very brief. We mention it in the morning at the end of Kriya Shema and at the evening at the end of Kriya Shema. However, on Pesach night, we elaborate very much on this mitzvah. And I think the Seder is a highlight of the year. Everyone looks forward to it. The family gets together. We have, everyone has a very, very, I would say, inspirational, nice time. And I want to suggest that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim is actually a difficult mitzvah. It's not an easy mitzvah. It's not a easy mitzvah to keep. And it's not an easy mitzvah to keep. It's not an easy mitzvah to keep. The mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. I'll explain why in a second. I much look forward to it because there are two types of mitzvahs. There are two mitzvahs that involve an action. And the way to mekayim the mitzvah is through the action itself. And even though it's nice to have a certain emotion connected to the action, it's nice to be focused on certain ideas. However, the action is still an action even without the emotions and the thoughts. And there are certain mitzvahs which, in addition to the action, also require certain thoughts and emotions. And about those thoughts and emotions, it's like the action is accomplished almost nothing. So as an example, I would say someone was doing tshuva on Yom Kippur. If someone does tshuva on Yom Kippur, the mitzvah of doing tshuva on Yom Kippur is a mitzvah which you have to have charata. Someone says vidui, and he's totally not thinking about anything. He doesn't feel bad. He doesn't do anything. So then the vidui doesn't really accomplish anything. You have to have that thought and emotion. And on Yom Kippur, you have to have that thought and emotion while you're saying the vidui. But the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim, I believe, as I'll explain, really requires a certain thought and emotion throughout the whole Seder. And this thought and emotion is very difficult. And I think Chazal constructed the Haggadah in order to help us be mekayim the mitzvah with the proper thoughts and emotions. So that's one topic in the Shir. The other topic is really to speak about, in brief, the first part of the Haggadah from Halach Ma'anya until Arame Ovid Avi. If someone will ask, how are we mekayim the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim? So Chazal tell us, we're mekayim the mitzvah by Arame Ovid Avi, by elaborating v'hush yidrosh barame Ovid Avi, the same parsha we would say when the Jew would bring Bikurim, he would have to say the parsha of Aramid Ovid Avi. However, what are we doing until then? What happens until that point? What is the point of a Halach Ma'anya? Kedemanishtan, I understand the point of the Rabbanim who sat in the B'nai Brak and they were talking to Yisrael a whole night. Why have to know about that? And Rav Lazar Nazaria starts talking about the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah that we have to mention, remember, Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day. So on the night when we're supposed to focus on the mitzvah of elaborating on Yetzias Mitzrayim, Rav Lazar ben Azariah goes off on a tangent. He starts talking about the mitzvah of Zechira. That would be another question we have to discuss. And also, I'm not going to discuss the Arba Banim, but the whole idea of Hisha Amda, all a very beautiful song. Why are these mitzvot mentioned? Why is it so important to go through the whole story, the whole introduction before we get to Ramid Ovi Avi? So, in order to discuss all of this, I want to share a screen. I want to share a screen with everybody, and I'm going to share the screen right here. And let's look at source number one. So we know that a very basic part of Yetzias Mitzrayim, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Mitzvah Pesach night, is Hallel. We know that. And as a matter of fact, Rav Chaim Brisker, my great-grandfather, when he was discussing, he says, listen, a whole year we have a mitzvah of Zechira, remembering. And on Pesach night, we have the mitzvah, Sipur. What's the difference between Sipur and Zechira? And Rav Chaim said one of the differences that Zechira and Sipur. So the mitzvah is when it comes to Zechira, we don't have to say Hallel. When it comes to Sipur, we have to sing Hallel, and that's how we sing Hallel before the Suda, Hallel after the Suda. Hallel is a very important part of the mitzvah Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So you look at source number one and the Rambam. The Rambam says like this. The Rambam in source number one, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, is Magdir. He defines the mitzvah of Sipur. And what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah, L'Saper V'Nisim V'Neflaot Shenash L'Mosenim Mitzrayim. It's a mitzvah Saseh of the Torah to tell over the miracle that happened to our forefathers in Mitzrayim, B'Lel Chamesh Asher B'Nisan, on the 15th day of Nisan. Okay? And the Rambam goes on, he appears at the Shabbos. But the Rambam does not mention one word about Hallel. In Perek Ches, the Rambam says, we do say Hallel, but in Perek Zion, where he discusses the mitzvah of Sivitzis Mitzrayim, the Rambam does not say one word about Hallel. And the question is, why not? Why doesn't he say Mitzvah Seishal Torah L'Saper, to go ahead and to tell over this mitzvah? Why does he add the idea we have to say Hallel? So that's question number one. Question number two, if you look at the Shiboli Aleket, one of the Rishonim, and the Shiboli Aleket is not the only Rishon who says this. There are others who say the same idea. See, he talks about, he says, B'halach ma'anya. And he says, V'omrim pe'echad b'halal v'shir, halach ma'anya, you should say all together, Hallel, the Hallel, v'shir, with song, and Hallel, halach ma'anya. And the Rishonim say it really throughout the Haggadah, but it starts with Halach Ma'anya. I would point out that my father, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, who I would say was not one of the biggest singers. Yeah. He used to always talk about himself that he says there are three types of nigunim. There's a nigun with a song without a nigun, a song with words, a song without words, and a nigun, a song without a tune. And he was to always be very big into the song without the tune. But he had a niggin for the Haggadah. And he started with Halach Ma'anya, Halach Ma'anya Dechalav Son of it's still ringing in my ears. Halach Ma'anya Dechalav Son of Bar Mitzrayim, Kol Divchen Yeshiv Yechel, Tiv Yeshiv Sak, Hashata Abda, Shalom Abda, Shalom Abda, Shalom Abda, and throughout the Haggadah, Ma'anash Tanar Lazem, Kol Leilos. Avadini Lefarim Mitzrayim, Baruch Shom Tachaso, and you know, and Vayanaru Kimoshan Amar, Elotan Mitzrayim, Dayenu. He had this tune throughout the Haggadah, which I actually forgot about for a number of years. After I got married, I wasn't at their Seder. And then when I made Aliyah and I was running my own Seder, I remember, oh my gosh, there's a tune. It's a tune that I understand that was a niggun in Lithuania. And he said the whole Haggadah with this tune. I don't remember how he said the Hallel or the benching, but the rest of the Haggadah was said with this tune. Like the Shiboli Aleket says, "Va'omrim pe'echad v'hallel v'shir halach ma'anya." Why? Because he says, "Shekeim etzina v'vaseinu Mitzrayim." The Shiboli Aleket says that our forefathers in Mitzrayim, "She'amru." Shira v'halel, the eight shira v'halel, achilas matzah. So we see the halach ma'anya and the whole Haggadah, and Mach Zavitri says, should be v'shira v'halel. And the question is why? Why? Okay, halel itself, I understand, but why the whole Haggadah? Why the halach ma'anya? And even the rest of the Haggadah, where we speak about the afflictions that happened in Mitzrayim, how we suffered in Mitzrayim, why is that? And a third question, the Shiboli Aleket asks, which I think is actually a pretty famous question, a question which many Mefarshim ask, that at the end of Halach Ma'anya, essentially before the Seder starts, we begin and we say, L'shana haba hashata hacha, L'shana haba ba'arad Yisrael, hashata avde, L'shana me'chorin, here, now we're here, next year we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. And we know, we say that on many occasions, on Simchas Torah we say, L'shana b'avi Yerushalayim, at the end of the Seder we say it, on Yom Kippur, and then Yom Kippur. So why at the Seder do we say it also beforehand? And the Shiboli Halakhet says, because since we mentioned Eid Pesach, we have to say Dibri Nechamos, Laharchiv Lev Omran Haggadah, to widen our heart, expand our heart, because the truth is, we're depressed, it's sad. We're sitting in Gullus, and even though many of us are Zoch in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Beis HaMikdash, and therefore in order to pick us up a little bit, the Torah says, you know what, Haggadah says, let me pick you up. Next year we'll be in Eretz Yisrael. Question is why? Wait till the end. Yom Kippur, I wait till the end. And then no one's concerned about Yom Kippur. We speak about the Voda of the Kohen Gadol, that we're sad about not having a Kohen Gadol. We even emphasize that. And Simchas Torah, no one talks about how sad we are. We wait till the end to talk about Yerushalayim. All of a sudden comes Seder night. Before the Seder starts, we have to have Dibrei Chizuk. Why is that? Why is that so important? Okay, and then I will just finish off with one more question, and then I'll try to start putting things together. So we know that Seder night, the questions are very important. So the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim, source number 4, points out, ulefi daito shel ben avim melamdo, that you have to teach your son according to what he knows and what he understands. And then the Mishnah says, maschil begnut, you start off with speaking about the sad parts, u'mesayim b'shevach, and you finish off with speaking about the wonderful, the geula, the wonderful things that happened. And then also afterwards, the doresh, you should be doresh me'rami ovid avi, achig bar kol ha'parsha. You should go ahead and you should say the parsha Ramid Ovid Avi. Ramid Ovid Avi is the parsha in Bikurim, in Parshas Kisavo, when a Jew would bring his first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash. And when he brought his first fruits to the Beis HaMikdash, he would say a whole parsha, talk about I went down to Mitzrayim and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of us and they took us to Eretz Yisrael. And he would thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that was going on. He would thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, and now he says, I brought the first fruits. So you have to be Dorish Meramid Ovid Avi. So first of all, the question is, like, why on Pesach night do we have to be Dorish this parsha? It's very simple. You sit down with your family, pull out a Sefer Shmos, Vayikra, Sefer Shmos, Parsha Shmos, Va'era Bo, part of Bishalach, done, it's over. But no, Chazal say you want to be kind the mitzvah, you have to go to Parshas Kisavo and be Dorish these psukim and mention it's Mitzrayim. So the question is why? Why not just learn Parsha Shmos, Va'era Bo? And then the last question is, this whole idea of Maskel Begnus and Messiah V'Shevach. So they say two questions from there. Question number one is Maschil Begnus. So what's Gnus? It's Machlokas, Rav, and Shmuel. Rav says you start talking about Mitchila Ovde Vodazara Vesenu, that our forefathers, Terach, worshipped the idols. And then and Shmuel says, Maschil Begnus, start off with the bad, Avadim Hila Farvim Mitzrayim. So and then Messiah V'Shevach. So the Malamed Lahoyel or David Tzvi often asked the question, okay, Rav, I understand we have to talk about Mitchila Odevot Azariah Vesenu, that our forefathers were, used to be idol worshippers, Terach, the father of Abraham. But Maskel Bignus Avadim Hayinu? Why do I have to add that in? Once I am Dorish, the Parsha of Arami Ovid Avi, so there it's written that we were slaves in Egypt. Why is it important, in addition to that, to start off with Avadim Hayinu? We're going to cover that in the Ramid Ovid Avi. So according to Shmuel, what the Chazal are saying is, you should start with the Gnus Avadim Hayinu, and even though you're going to cover that subject in the Ramid Ovid Avi later on in the Seder, but still, start off with that. What's the purpose of starting off with Avadim Hayinu if you're going to mention anyways in Aram Mirovet Avi later on. What's the purpose? And then the last question is Messiah v'Shavach. What does Messiah v'Shavach mean? So if you look at you finish off v'Shavach. So if you look at source number five, the Rambam says v'tzarech lahatzchil v'gnus Messiah v'Shavach. Ketzav, how do you start? Matchil v'Masaper. You have to begin and say shevitchila. There used to be people who would go after the Hevel, and Messiah Vidasa Emes, and finish off Vidasa Emes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us closer to him. Wow. And then also starved of Aminu and finish off with the Emes. That the nisim and the flows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to us and to who we chose. So I don't understand. You finish off. So when do you finish off? I would assume you finish off the Seder. I don't know. By Hallel to end, maybe four Motzi Matzah. But the truth is, right away, we maslo b'gnus avdim v'yinu. And immediately we finish. God took us out of Mitzrayim. We say right a little later on. And we finish off right away. Messiah means to finish off, but we're finishing off right after we're starting. We're finishing off. We mentioned the Shevach even before we get to Aram Mirovet Avi. So what's the point? What do you mean Messiah and the Shevach? You're not Messiah and the Shevach. You're Maslo Begnus Uve Shevach, and then you're Messiah much later on. What does that all mean? So I think what I want to suggest, and I would just say that I was thinking about this, probably these ideas from after Purim. And last week I was thinking about this and a certain idea came into my head as a light bulb turned on, something I never thought about before. And I immediately called my brother Moshe Soloveitchik and he said to me, your idea is a davar pashut. So what's this idea I never thought of that is really a very simple idea? We always think that what's Hallel? The Hallel in the Haggadah starts right before Motzi Matzah, right before the Brach of Gal Yisrael, Lefichach, since Chayev Adam Liris is Atzmo, that he left Mitzrayim, Lefichach, because of that, Chayev Amanu were obligated to give Hallel, Shevach, Shir, the whole thing, and also Haluka, Haluach de Hashem, it says from Mitzrayim, oh, there's Hallel. No, I think the Chiddush here is that the whole Haggadah has to be Hallel. When you say Halach Ma'anya, that's Hallel. When you say Ma'anishtana Laylazeh, that's Hallel. When you say Avadim Ayinu, that's Hallel. When you say Vihisha Amda Lavoseinu, that's Hallel. When you go ahead and you say Vayanunu, the Mitzrayim afflicted us, that's Hallel. The whole thing is Hallel. So in other words, we ask the question, source number one, how come the Rambam does not mention Hallel? He just says, Mitzvah say l'saper. The answer is very simple. Because if he would have said mitzvah say l'saper l'agid halel, you would think there are two separate mitzvos, two parts of mitzvah. One is to tell the story and to say halel. He says, no, the sipur itself has to be halel. And that's why the Shavol Eleket says that you start with halach ma'anya dechol somber mitzrayim, kol divchen yesev yechol derzei yivsach. Why? And the whole Haggadah is in the tomb. Why? Because the whole Haggadah is Shira. The whole Haggadah is Hallel. Everything is Hallel. That's why the whole thing has to be in a tune. And as a raya, as a proof, you look at source number four at the very end. So Gemara is talking about how you teach your children. So Gemara tells a story that Rav Nachman said to his servant Daru. So I want to ask you a question. Pesach night, he says. A servant is granted freedom by his master. And not only that, the master says, I'll give you money to support yourself, to start yourself off. You can start a business, be independent, self-sufficient. What should he say to the master? So all of a sudden, along comes the evidence and says, wow. He says, boy, you know what you should do? Boy, lachuye lashvuche, and I'll make it a little larger. A person, this is a kuftes zion of an aleph, a person should go ahead and a person should, the servant should thank his master, l'shvuchei, and he should praise the master. And all of a sudden he says, okay, no manashtana, let's start up dimayinu. It sounds like once you realize they have to thank God and praise God, once God does something good, like just like this master, this owner did for the slave. What did he do for the slave? For the slave, he went ahead and he let the slave out, gave him money. God took out of the shrine. He gave us the Torah. He made us independent in a certain level. We were given that we were able to take out of Mitzrayim, Baruch Hashem, a lot of wealth, so we could move on. So, let's start Avadim Ayinu. What does Avadim Ayinu have to do with thanking and praising God? We should only thank and praise God when we speak about the fact we left Mitzrayim. So, what's the answer? Is no. The whole thing, the whole Haggadah has to be in Hallel. And that's why there's a Nigun. And that's why the Rambam doesn't specify or distinguish the special mitzvah of Hallel from Sipur. Because the whole Sipur has to be in Hallel. You have to be in the right mood, the right frame of mind. And when I said the mitzvah of Sipur, Yetzias Mitzrayim, is difficult, it's because you have to be in that frame of mind. You're saying Hallel the whole time. It's not so easy. And I'll continue. It's not even easy when you're discussing an event that makes you happy. If you look at source number 7, let me lower the page a little bit. Look at source number 7, the Rambam Hilchos Tainis, and this is a Gemara in Perek Aleph Halacha Tezayin. Gemara says, Perek Aleph Halacha Tezayin, Sibur Shahoyu Mis'anim. So what happens is, you have a Sibur that's fasting. Why? Because there was a famine. There was no rain. There was no rain. There was a famine. There was no rain. So they were fasting. And it was a fast day. And then Baruch Hashem, that day when they fasted, all of a sudden it begins to rain. It begins to rain on that day. So when it begins to rain on that day, so question is, do you fast? So the Rambam says, Gemara, if the rain comes before Chatzos, they shouldn't finish the fast. They should go eat and drink. So soon it rains, they should say, Baruch Hashem, go home, eat and drink. And then go into shul and recite Hallel. So Gemara says, go home, eat and drink. Just a big nes, a miracle. We had rain. Rambam, the Gemara says, why go home and eat? You should go to shul right now and say Hallel. Gemara says, no. Why not? Because the Gemara says, because you can't say Hallel unless you have a nefesh seveya, a satiated soul, very important words, and a keres maleya and a full stomach. Okay? So therefore, we are fasting. We didn't have rain for a long time. I'm not really feeling so good. Before I say hello, I have to go home and eat so I can have a full stomach and a satiated soul. So I understand very well what a keres maleya is, a full stomach, as a lot of people do. Sit down to a good meal, a good barbecue. Yeah, you really understand what a full stomach is. So, you know, Purim Suda at the Seder after the Korban Pesach, you know, Alas Sova. But what is a nefesh seveya, safe, satiated soul? What is that? You got to say hal nefesh seveya. So we look at source number 8. Source number 8 says like this. Source number 8, nefesh seveya, tavos nofes, mishlei perek chav zayin. So a nefesh seveya, a satiated soul, will despise something sweet. What does that mean? What it means is that, you know, yeah, right. Let's say, for example, you come home, and you're just in a great mood, and you just had a great meal, and you see some chalk on the table. The truth is, I don't need chocolate. I love chocolate, but I don't need it now. I don't need it because, thank God, I feel really good. I just had something. In other words, what does that mean? So Ralbag says, he says that a nefesh seveya is someone who sameach b'chelko. He's so happy with what he has. And therefore, if he goes ahead he's happy with his life, you know, he'll even despise Dvarim Matukim. I have to give an example. Maybe it's a little bit too personal, but I remember, you know, sometimes I happen to have a sweet tooth. I happen to like sweet cakes. I used to really enjoy gooey cakes. And I remember when I was engaged, I had no problem staying away from any of these cakes. Like, who needs to eat these cakes? I'm so happy. It's true. Nefesh seveya. Yeah, tovas noves. You don't like it. Okay. I wish that discontinued. But whatever, I'm still very happy. But, you know, but when you're really happy about something, so then you don't need all the sweet, you know, the sweet treats. You're happy. But I think what the Malbim says is fascinating. Source number 10. He says, how is someone enough for Seveya? It doesn't depend on your situation. It doesn't mean somebody who comes in and, you know, he walks in the house and the table is full of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. I apologize to anyone who's in America. In America, we're not supposed to have Ben and Jerry's, but here in Eretz Yisrael, the person who distributes Ben and Jerry's is a supporter of Medinas Yisrael and cares about Yehuda v'Shomron, so we can have it. He says, yeah, okay. What does it depend on? It depends on, he says, the makeup of the person himself. In other words, he says, depending who you are, what you are, what makes you happy. So some people say, I don't need this. So a nefesh seveya, someone who's happy with himself, there are times he'll say, you know what? I don't need this right now. It's not really that important to me. I don't really need this right now. That's nefesh seveya. I'm very happy. So it says, so in other words, the Gemara says you can only say Hallel if you have a Keres Meleya, and also you're happy, Nefesh Seveya. You need really both to say Hallel, that you feel, because I guess once after, you know, unfortunately, the being deprived for so long from food, because good food, because there was a drought. So you need to have a little bit in your stomach, but also you need to feel good about yourself. And sometimes the stomach makes you feel good about yourself. Nefesh Seveya. So what do we see from this idea? We see that in order to go ahead and to be nefesh seveya, to say hallel, you have to feel good about yourself. And you can have everything on the table. You can have the korban pesach. You can have the best matzah. You can have the best wine. But if you don't feel good about yourself, you're not going to be able to say hallel. You're not going to say hallel. And that's when it comes to something, we talk about something exciting that happened. Rain finally came. When you're speaking about a story where there's good parts to it and the parts that are not so good, to be able to say hallel and thank you is possible, but it's challenging. It's challenging. So therefore, we come to the Seder, and the Torah tells us the whole thing is hallel. The whole thing is hallel? How can the whole thing be hallel? After all, he says, I'm going to talk about how we suffered in Mitzrayim, the servitude. You know, what was going on? What happened to the Jews? And you want me to say hallel? How is that possible? It's possible. It all depends on your perspective. So let's give an example. Obviously, there are times in life when it's impossible to say hallel. But maybe when you look back a little bit, you're able to say hallel. So for example, I'll give again another personal example. When I was, my mother passed away. I was in my 30s. And obviously when she passed away, I was very sad. And I remember, you know, and my father passed us the same year. And I remember my father, George, that is in Cholamoid Sukkos. You know, so usually on the Yortzeit, you like to spend the day, you know, focused on learning Mishnayos. Cholamoid is family day also. So I like to learn in the morning. And then we usually go out together, the family, especially in the earlier years. And find the minyan, not mincha, is never difficult because every so wherever you are, you know, you can find the minyan. So that year we were in Park Hertzli on the yard. So I said, okay, let's find the minyan. There was no one to be found in the entire park. It was crazy. Okay, I wasn't that nervous because I could just jump in the car and run to Itzquitz and Bnei Brak, find the minyan. But I took my two boys that were with me, three boys, I forgot already. And I said, we crossed, there was another park across the street. And we crossed the street. And there was a family of, I guess, Hasidim from England. And they were taking pictures. And then I overheard and said, okay, let's take the last picture of Daven Mincha. Great. I said, oh, can I join? I'm a Chiyuv. He said, Daven Ramad. He said, sure. And then they finished taking the pictures. And they said, what a wonderful Chalamoe. We took pictures in the park together. We have a minion from Mincha. We even have a Chiyuv. And then they felt bad. Because they have a Chiyuv, that means someone's parents passed away. So they looked at me and said, well, sorry, we said that. And I said, it's okay. I said, now the Yortzeit I look at and I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I have such wonderful parents. You know, you look back and you can give halal v'hodah. You know, you don't have to go through life always being sad. But it's a talent. So here we're going to go ahead and we're going to say Hallel on Pesach night on everything. We have to go ahead and we have to somehow prepare ourselves. And I think what happened was Chazal went ahead and Chazal prepared us. And they said the whole beginning of the Haggadah, I'm not going to go through all the points, is really to prepare us, to tell us how to prepare ourselves. Now it says, when it says Maskel B'gnusim B'sayim B'shevach, it's saying the Hagdom Shakshin to the Haggadah, from Halach Ma'anya until Aramid Ovid Avi is all introduction. It's all introduction. So therefore, Maskel B'gnus, you understand where we started from, Avadim Ayinu. We go ahead and we finish off the introduction with Shavach. So before we start the whole story, we realize where we're going, where we're headed. So in that way, that reason, we can go ahead and we're able, that way we are able to really see the whole picture. And even as we're talking about the bad things that happened when we were in Mitzrayim, we can really see the good because we know what came out of it in the end. I'll give another example. When I was 20 years old, I think I was 20. My mother, Zichrona Levracha, was diagnosed with cancer. And I was at home, maybe I was 21, I forgot already. And I was given the responsibility every day of taking her for treatment. So I wouldn't daven at 7:45 in the yeshiva. I would daven at early minyan. And I would take her, and we spent, every day together in the car. The treatment was pretty quick. I'd go and wait for her to come out. I'd take her back, and I spent hours together. And, even though my mother passed away, I was in my 30s, and my mother was not, I was not zocha to have either of my parents, any of my kids' bar mitzvahs, any of my kids' weddings, right? But I look back and I said, at least I was zocha that my mother was able to be in my wedding at some of my kids' births. She met some of my children, and it was a bracha that I spent time with her then. So you're always able to somehow switch things around and to really see how Kadosh Baruch Hu was good to me. And once you know where you are ending up, you look back and see how good and the benefit of even some other events that happened. And that's why before the Haggadah starts, it's sort of like we know the end. Maskel B'gnus, Mesayim V'Shevach, he finished Hagdama V'Shevach. So now when you read the whole story, then you actually can know and understand. Where you're headed, and therefore you can say how about everything. See how every small thing was so good. And that's why it's Messiah. That's why it's Messiah. And I think that's why we have to say Avadim Ayinu first, even though we're going to say it later. Because before you start, we say we were slaves, how we came back, and then you get a whole different appreciation of the whole story. I do that sometimes when I read a book also. I'll read the beginning, read the end, and then go back and read the whole story. You get a better appreciation. So a lot of times you read one book, you want to read it again, you have a whole appreciation. So if you start off, tell what happened, what was not so good, what was great, then you read the whole story, you get a better appreciation for everything, and you can say Hallel. You can say Hallel about the whole story. I think that the reason why, and the reason why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says the Haggadah tells us he was in Bnei Brak. Like, why do I care that all these rabbis got together in Bnei Brak? And assume Bnei Brak, why do I care about Bnei Brak? Aruch HaShulchan says, Bnei Brak was the town of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the ultimate Menachem. He was the one who made them feel good. He made them feel better. When you say the Haggadah, you have to feel good about yourself. They went to Bnei Brak, Rabbi Akiva's town. He can make them feel good. So they'd be capable of saying Hallel, singing Hallel. And I think that's the reason why we go ahead and we actually say the Parsha of Aramid Ovid Avi. Why don't we just read Parsha Shmos, Parsha Vayera, Parsha Bo? Why Aramid Ovid Avi? Because Aramid Ovid Avi is also the purpose of that Parsha is to say Hallel. The Jew brings the Bikurim, and with those Psukim, he's saying Hallel. We have to elaborate the Psukim. But if we would just say Shmos Ve'era Bo, we'd be saying a story. But it can't be just a story. It has to be Hallel. And those psukim really focus in on the Hallel aspect of the whole story. And that is the idea. And I'm sure, and other points of introduction are to go ahead and really to help us recognize and put us in a place where we'll be able to say Hallel, to look at the Hagdama And that's the avoda. That's the avoda. Sibrit Shiz Mitzrayim is to say it. V'derech Hal, v'derech Shira. So what's the idea here? And if you think about it, it's not an easy idea. A person has to go ahead and a person has to say the story. V'derech Hal, v'derech Shira. Look at life and be happy if you say Hal and Shira. Now, it's not so simple, as I said. I have to tell you that I feel that I was blessed with this tchuna, this attribute of being a happy person. Okay, I always try to be happy. Why do I try to be happy? Because being not happy, it stinks, right? I like to be happy. Now, obviously, the moments in life you can't be happy. I like to think that I was a very happy person. And the question you have to ask yourself, how can you always be happy? How can you always be happy? So I said, sometimes it's very difficult. It's true. But I try to be happy. And I remember that at my Ufrith, I just remember this last week, in my Ufrith, my father spoke in my Ufrith. So he mentioned, Shabbat Chatan, he mentioned, because I guess I was walking around from Rosh Chodesh Kislev until Lag BaOmer with a big smile on my face that lit up the room wherever I walked into. And he mentioned that, you know, at the end of the Avodah on Yom Kippur, when we speak about Mara Kohen, great song. Everyone loves that song, Mara Kohen. So I don't have a machshor in front of me, but it says that the Kohen Gadol looked like the chesed al pnei chassan. And he spoke about the smile on a chassan's face and the smile on the face of the Kohen Gadol. Why? Because a person who sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything in his life, and he sees how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has led his life, can always, always be happy. The Kohen Gadol is happy because obviously he just came out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He really came close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and is similar to a chassan who also can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who is happy as a chassan is somebody who sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his life. And that's how a person goes ahead and a person becomes happy. Just to finish off with two stories, what does that mean? You know, there's a very famous story, I don't know if it's actually also famous, about Rabbi Elimelech Miluzhinsk and Rabbi Zusha Miampola, two brothers. The story has become even more of a favorite of mine because my address for the last few years has been Noam Elimelech, named after Rabbi Elimelech Miluzhinsk. So very happy about that. And once they were walking in a town, these two Jews, two Hasidim, I don't know what they were doing. They got in trouble. They're thrown into a jail with a bunch of vagabonds, people who were not so, sophisticated. And they were in this jail with them. And in the middle of this room was a bucket that was used as the washroom. Okay, this is what's going on. They're looking outside this little window and they see, oh, the sun's going down. It's time to daven mincha. So one brother says to the other, let's daven mincha. You can't daven mincha. Why can't you daven mincha? There's a bucket. A bucket which is used in the toilet. You can't daven mincha in a room like this. Our brother started to cry. Cry? Why are you crying? He said, I can't daven mincha. But why can't you daven mincha? What do you mean I can't daven mincha? Because of the bucket. So what? Well, that's the halacha. Oh, that's the halacha. So you're being mekayim mitzvah Hashem. You should be happy. He said, wow, that's great. We're being a mitzvah. And they started to dance. The warden of the jail comes in and he sees these two Meshuggah Jews dancing. So what are these guys dancing about? So one of the non-Jews says, I have no idea, but it has something to do with that bucket. Oh, the bucket's making them happy. Let's take the bucket out of the jail. They took the bucket out of the jail. Oh, now they were happy. In other words, they had this level. They were able to go ahead and to be happy. They were able to be happy because they're filling the Dvar Hashem. And if someone realizes he's connected to Hashem, he brings Hashem into his life, you can be happy, even at the moments, which can be, you know, can be tragic. There's another, I would say Rav Meir Shapiro is probably the one who influenced the learning of Balabatim more than anybody else. Everyone learns Dafayomi, everybody. I mean, every shul has a Dafayomi shir. Everyone's, not everyone, but a lot of people are learning Dafayomi. I ask people who learn Dafayomi, remember Dafayomi, do you know what Rav Meir Shapiro's last words were? And by the way, Rav Meir Shapiro did not have an easy life. What were his last words? So, last words, He had a trouble speaking at the end of his life. He had trouble speaking. So what does Rameir Shapiro do? Rameir Shapiro, that day, the day he died, he sees his wife started to cry. So he writes to his wife, "Why are you crying? Lamata bocha, lamat bocha." The simcha is about to start. I don't know what that means. Then his students are around his bed. He says, "No, everyone, drink a l'chaim." And they start to dance and sing. And then he looks at them and he says, with great difficulty, "Nor b'simcha, rock b'simcha." He snaps his fingers and he dies. The most important thing in life, it's so important to be b'simcha, real happiness. And sometimes it's very difficult. And there's some people whose lives are so challenging. I can't imagine. Now, I've heard stories of people who've had ALS and they feel connected and happy and they thank Hashem. And these people are gibori koach. But we have to be b'simcha. And that's the message of Pesach night, the message of Emunah, is to say halal on everything, to be b'simcha. To be b'simcha on everything. That's the message. And that's why I said it was very difficult, but Chazal helped us out. Know where you're headed. Know what you're going to do. And if you know where you're headed, what you're going to do, what the past was and where the future was, you can be b'simcha. I would say, I think it's such an important message in life. It's to just be b'simcha, and as the Malbim says, being b'simcha depends on the person. I think if the message this year is to be b'simcha, we should be able to take that, and we should be b'simcha when we say the whole Hallel, the whole Haggadah, and we should be b'simcha when we say the whole Hallel and the whole Haggadah, and in Mirtz Hashem, we should be b'simcha about, we try our best, and the best way to do it is to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in our lives, And the truth is, we can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, but we can bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives by doing all the things we're supposed to be doing. And that makes it easier to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives. We should do it. And we should not just say Hallel on Pesach night and everything. We should be able to say Hallel and everything else. Everyone should have a Chag Kashubar Sameach. Thank you all for joining in. And we should be Zocha to seeing the future and then looking back in the past and really realizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu was involved in everything that we did. Thank you all very much for joining in.